Well, good morning. It's good to be with the Lord's body on the Lord's day in the Lord's house. We're beginning a new series during this Advent season entitled The Sit-Tights. And this morning, our text is from the prophet Isaiah, the fifth gospel, so-called, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. I invite you to follow along in your own Bible, or if you are in need of a Bible, there are pew Bibles adjacent to you. And if you are able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul is well pleased. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A crushed reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not be faint or crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says the God Yahweh, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am Yahweh. I have called you in righteousness. I will also take hold of you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who inhabit darkness from the prison. I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I cause you to hear them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would enlighten our minds, touch our hearts, prepare us for the work of applying this text to our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we all know, and we're gearing up, Advent season commences this week. Advent is a time to recollect and celebrate the coming of our Lord. He came a long time ago, and we remember that calling, but we also hope for and anticipate his second coming. He once came humbly lying in a manger, and someday, one day, he will come riding on the clouds. Matthew 24:30. Well, this word Advent is a Latin term. Invenio is the word to come in Latin, the verb to come. But Advenio is a compound verb. It means to come to arrive at. And that ad, that prepositional prefix, says much about what we celebrate this season. Our Lord not only came, he came to us. He became one of us. And even after the resurrection in his glorified body, he remains enfleshed forever. One day, as he promised, he will return, but not yet. We learn to wait. We sit tight. And this is the title of our sermon series. Though he is Emmanuel, though he is God with us, through the sending of the Spirit, our Comforter, and through his body, the church, where two or more are gathered, he is present. We still wait for him. We wait for him to finish what he started. Well, our text this morning refers to the one we remember and celebrate this Advent season, the Messiah. As Isaiah refers to him, he's the servant. He will later be spoken of as the suffering servant, the chosen one, the just one, the one who sets captives free. And eventually, he will be called Christ the Lord. What we see happening in verse 1 is it takes a servant to bring justice to the nations. Yahweh has a servant, and his Spirit is upon this servant. And this servant will bring forth justice to the nations. Yahweh has had servants before. Isaiah is referred to as a servant. David is referred to as a servant. But this one in particular, Yahweh holds out as a model. Behold, look at my servant. He's different. He'll do something different. And in verse 2, we see already that he will proclaim differently. He will not be loud and draw attention. He will not cry out like Abel's blood did from the ground. His voice will not be heard in the streets, that is, afield or abroad or over there, in which it's not destined to go. His word will go where it needs to go. His proclamation will go where it needs to go, and it will not return void. Isaiah 55:11. He will bring justice. But he will not crack into pieces what is already crushed. He won't split what is splintering. His judgment will be heavy, but it won't be too heavy that he extinguishes the spark that is on the verge of expiring, as we read of in verse 3. His plans and his ordinances will come to pass, but he will not oppress the oppressed. Isaiah 58:6. Note in verse 4 that bringing of justice to nations will take its toll on him. My translation says he will not be faint or crushed. But actually, it says that he will not grow dim or darken. He will not grow dim or darken. And interestingly, darken is the same word for rebuke. He will not grow dim or darken, and he will not be rebuked. Who else deserves a servant like this? Who else can have a servant like this? Who else can uphold a servant like this? In verse 5, Yahweh speaks with authority. Do you know who I am? I bent and pitched the sky, the horizon, and all that's lofty. I pounded out the land and stamped the earth into place. I puff and make people. Genesis 2:7 and Isaiah 2:22. What's interesting as we continue with this theme of light and darkness and as we wait in the light is these people referred to in verse 5, these people of the world and of the nations, they are a derivative of the verb darken. They are people in the dark, darkened ones, and they're dark in two senses. One, there's a lot of them, and they overshadow each other. But they're also Gentiles. They're not sons of Israel. And though Yahweh offers his servant to the people, he will take care of him. He will seize him and make him stout. He will fasten him and keep him hidden so that he is not vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. He will preserve him even though he gives him to the dark ones, to be dawn, to be daylight, to be morning, to be sunshine. Yahweh will give him to open the eyes of those who have covered their eyes. This term blind is willing, it's deliberate. They have intentionally covered their eyes. They're blind because they're hiding. They're hiding from the light. But as their sunshine, he will help them see. And he will help them escape the bondage and capture that they are in, as we see in verse 7. This servant held by Yahweh, fastened by Yahweh, will be the one who unfastens those who are chained in their sin. And he will pull them out of the darkness and bring them into the light. And these prisoners here, it's fascinating. This term, prisoner, it can have multiple meanings. Those with heavy yoke, those tied down, those shut in, those handed over, those locked in, those quarantined, those who had to surrender or give up. Our text also talks about those who sit in the darkness or those who dwell in the darkness. Those who dwell in hiding. Those who have settled into obscurity. Some of them have married wickedness. Some of them remain in ignorance. Some of them have pitched a tent in sorrow. There is hope. The servant will get the job done, which is why Yahweh will not give his splendor or greatness to another. As we read in verse 8, he will not sing a song of praise to any other. For to sing a song of praise is to shine on something. And Yahweh will not shine on a false god. Yahweh will not illuminate an image carved by human beings. Something is coming. But you can see it now. What abided before has been replaced by the renewed and repaired, we read of in verse 9. Yahweh has had servants before this servant. And he will have servants after. But he will make it apparent that this servant will establish his justice in a different way. And it will happen. So the servant brings captives out of the dungeon and brings prisoners out of darkness. Why are we talking about waiting in the darkness? Why are we talking about sitting in the darkness? Isn't all darkness bad? Isn't all darkness to be avoided, to be circumvented, to be escaped? Why don't we talk about sitting tight in the light? Can't we wait for him with the lights on all the time? There are at least three darknesses that we can talk about that are bad. At least three different phenomena that pervade our culture. And if we took an honest worm's eye view of our lives, some of them have crept their way into the crevices of our church and churches across the nations. Three idols that we have carved out in our lives that reign in our heads, our hearts, and our hands. More than this servant, more than this king, more than this savior. I propose the three as despair, danger, and the devil. There's one darkness in which we want to know the future. We don't know the future. When we don't know the future, we feel like we're in the dark. We don't like not knowing what's going on. We don't like not knowing what's going to happen. We feel helpless. And as the days seem to become darker, we begin to despair. We hope less. And darkness even might become our friend. Another darkness is one in which we want to be in control of our surroundings. When we can't see something, there's a certain control we have in seeing things. If we can see it and comprehend it, we think we can control it. But when we're in the dark, when we can't see something, we feel threats. We anticipate danger. Something is creeping in the closet. Something is hiding under the bed. We get afraid. We worry. Physical darkness becomes a place of chaos for us, a place in which we come to believe that God is absent. A third kind of darkness is we want things to be safe. But as we all acknowledge, there is still evil and wickedness in the world. The devil still prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Apostasy, hypocrisy, paganism, atheism, and even devil worship are still alive and kicking in our world. So we grow weary of the fight. We want to escape from the world and hide in our basements. These are darknesses that we have to deal with, endure, fight until his second coming. But they aren't only things out there. They're also things here. Despair and hopelessness have their grips on many believers in many churches. A fear of danger still haunts people in the pews. The heretical view that Satan and God are two equal forces in power, fighting it out, is still preached in some pulpits. But we dwell in these darknesses every time we say something like, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Everything is definitely and most certainly getting worse. All of this is wrong. Everything about this is wrong. Don't do that. You might get killed. What you want to do is everything you can do to prevent death and prolong your life, because that's really what it's about. Or one that I find particularly insidious, but I enjoy hearing sometimes. You can't be too careful. Some darknesses are evil, and we have to recognize them as such. Like those mentioned above, they are evil because in one shape or another, they invite us to trust in our own carved images. They force us to bow down to our own kingdom of control, to crawl back into the dungeon of our own making, to recover our eyes after we have been freed to see clearly. But not all darknesses are evil. And not all evil is useless. For we know who is in control of the darkness, and we know who uses evil for good. Like Joseph, though others may mean evil for us, God means to use it for good in order to keep many alive. Genesis 50:20. He is sovereign. In the light and in the darkness, in a manger and on the clouds. In the beginning, there was darkness over the surface of the deep, but the Spirit of God was hovering. And God separated light from darkness, and he put darkness in its place by calling it night. He took darkness and light and made day out of them. Genesis 1:5, Yahweh uses darkness to create good. Moses stretched out his hand towards the sky so that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a thick darkness which could be felt, a darkness that lasted days in which no one could see or move except the sons of Israel. And Pharaoh said, "Go, serve Yahweh." Yahweh uses darkness to save his people. On the day that the mountain was burning with fire and there was a dense gloom, a voice came from the midst of the darkness. Deuteronomy 5:23. That voice spoke to the assembly, and that voice gave commandments. From the darkness came words of life. Yahweh speaks from the darkness. That voice became the word of life. The light that shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. That same voice, that same servant, that same Savior is the Son of the Father of lights, who indeed one day will come riding on the clouds, but on that tremendous last day will become the only light that all the created order needs. The sun will replace the sun. We wait for no more nights. We wait for no more gloom, no more obscurity, no more evil, no more darkness, but we wait. We sit tight and we wait for the second coming. The second coming when he will bring his justice definitively, consummately, finally. He will dispel the darkness, but we must wait. What darkness are you encountering these days? What danger are you afraid of? What demons have you surrendered to? What demons are you harboring and hiding? Where is despair lurking in your life? Where have you given up hope? What injustice do you see that you really, really want to be righted and fixed and corrected, but just don't foresee it happening? My friends, I encourage you this morning. Watch him separate the light from the darkness. See him bring darkness, but give his people light. Watch the pillar of cloud with the darkness move, giving light at night. Hear him speak from the darkness of his holy mountain. He owns the darkness, and he wields it for his own purposes. Do not run from it. Do not be afraid of it. This morning, he is saying something to you from that holy mountain. He is speaking words of life. What is he saying? Everything, remember, everything may be burning around you, and the dense gloom is heavy, and the darkness is felt. He is speaking words of life. He is speaking from the darkness. The darkness did not overcome him. Hear his voice. Take his hand and let him bring you out of whatever darkness and dungeon you find yourself in or you have put yourself in. Lord Jesus, the chosen one, the servant, the suffering servant, who's called by the Father to enact justice and establish it And one day, we'll complete it. Lord, this morning, whatever dungeon we are in, whatever darkness we find ourselves in, speak to us. Speak words of life, and Lord, come to us. Be glorified in our lives. And may we praise you as you walk with us and even as you sit with us as we wait in dark times or dark places. May you be honored and glorified. In your Son's name we pray.